Open your Bibles to the book of Jude. The book of Hey Jude. I think I'm going to... Hey Jude, it's going to be chapter 1, being that there is only one chapter. And we're talking about contending for the faith. So I'm just going to read it. Actually, can you turn on the light, Chris, just for a second? Thanks. I was going to go through a bunch of slides, but... from last week, but no slides for you. Okay, here we go. No, because I don't know. I don't feel like I'm supposed to. So I'm just going to trust the Lord, okay? All right, here we go. It starts off, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ. Jude, and this is verse 1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, like we all need to be, and a brother of James, to those who have been called, to those who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. He says in verse 2, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance or multiplied. He says in verse 3, he says, if I can read with all my writings on here, dear friends, and isn't that great? Agapetos in the Greek. He calls us friends. He says that. In John, it says that greater love is no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. But think about this too. Jesus also said, you are my friends if what? You do what I command. Jesus said, you are my friends if what? You do what I command. Right? Okay. So it says, although I was very eager to write you about the salvation that we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith. Agonizo, like to agonize, to fight, to struggle for the faith that was once and for all entrusted, paradidomi, delivered, handed down, entrusted to you. This gospel, which we're going to go over today in a minute. Once and for all entrusted to the saints. And then verse 4, we covered verse 4, although I'm doing a little bit more on verse 4 today because there was just a lot. It says, for certain men among you, for certain men, individuals, some of your translations say that's probably better, certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. Peristeno, that means they're creeping in, they're entering secretly, and so on and so forth. It says, they are godless men. And I didn't tell you this last week, but that word godless in verse 4 is the word asabas. And that means destitute of reverential awe for the Lord. In other words, they're going to tell you all about love of the Lord, but never how we're supposed to honor, never about the holiness, the reverential fear of the Lord, the awe of the Lord. We're going to leave that part out. And really, when you talk about the Lord, you have to have both. The love of the Lord and the holiness of the Lord. But he says that they are asabas, godless men and women, or godless individuals who change or who pervert the grace of our God into, the Bible says, a license for immorality. That's one thing that they're going to do. And they're going to deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. And so we're going to start out because we're living in a time where there is so much bad teaching out there, and that it scares me. Okay, I'm a Christian just like you, but you're a pastor. But I'm a Christian first. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ just like you. We're in the same boat if you've committed your life to Jesus. And I'm telling you, because of what I've read in the Word, there is so much bad teaching out there that scares me. It is overwhelming, and it's creeping into people's... That word creeping in is perfect, whether it's doctrines of self-righteousness, or if you don't believe this exact thing, you're not... the license to sin. Oh, my goodness, there's so much bad teaching that it's scary. And what's more scary is that people don't know it's bad teaching. That scares me even more. So I want us to read... And we're going to flip over to Acts, which is just to your left in your Bible. I know you're used to nice slides, but I didn't have electric as much. And to be honest, I wanted us to read it together, okay? Acts chapter 20. All right? So open your Bibles. Don't just sit there or scroll on your phones. Acts chapter 20. We're going to read this together. I might ask you to read. Okay, maybe not you, Kels. Maybe not you, Maggie, because of the baby. But others. Maybe not you, Josh. Acts chapter 20. And we're going to go to verse 29. I'm going to have, I guess I'll read it. Acts chapter 20, because we need to be on guard for these asabas individuals without a reverential awe of God, okay? Acts chapter 20, starting in verse, I'm going to read 29 to 31 first, if you could join me together, okay? First, I'm going to read 29 to 31 in the book of Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Everybody there? Okay. Starting, I was going to ax you if you were there, but I did steal it from you. All right, starting in verse 29, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to Christians that he's ministering to. He says, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you. That means they're coming in from the outside. Now, sometimes these savage wolves, they're predators. They're trying to get you to follow themselves. They're trying to get you to fleece the flocks. They want you to think they're spiritual. They want you to follow whatever. But they're coming in. Sometimes they come in unawares. They come in with these bad doctrines, and they don't even know any better, and they're letting it go. But it says that they will come in among you and will not spare the flock. And that's scary to me. It goes on to say, listen to this, even from your own number, men, and that means individuals, not just men. Oh, the women are okay. Men and women will arise and distort the truth, listen to this, in order to draw away disciples after themselves. A real Christian, will we? A real Christian, their main goal is the same as the Holy Spirit, which is to glorify Jesus Christ and to draw people to Him. I love that you love this church. I love that you love my teaching, or I love that you love Pastor Gary and this, or your Natalie and the women's, or but can I tell you what? Our whole goal is to point you to Jesus Christ. He is the only one who saves. He is the only one who sanctifies. And He is the only one who glorifies. Right? We are just humble servants of His. That's what we all need to be. We need to be pointing to Him, His heart, His word, and His spirit. Amen? It goes on to say, let's see if I want to read this now. Yes, I do. It goes on to say, so in verse 31, so be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you day and night with tears. Listen, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm simply telling you, you need to know the word for yourself. I don't even watch Christian TV anymore, because I'm not saying there's still not some good folks on there. There are. But by and large, most of it is a lot of junk and show and stuff like that. It's terrible. It's a production. And so we have to watch out from those coming from without and from within. Also, verses 27 and 28. He says, if you read, look at verse 27 with me, that same Acts. He says, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the what? Whole counsel of God, it says. I love that. The whole counsel of God. Keep watch over yourselves and over the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which He bought with His own blood. So here's the deal. You are a shepherd. Okay, pastor, that pastor basically means shepherd. Okay? So I am a shepherd. Pastor Gary is a shepherd. But you are a shepherd too. You're a shepherd of your family. Did you know that, Kevin? You are a shepherd of your little sheep. You are. Chris, you have friends that I know and love. You are a shepherd in that little friend group. Did you know that? Mark, you are You are a shepherd even in your community, and your shepherd's here. You are a shepherd at your work. You are a shepherd with your people group, with your friends, with your family. It's your job to help watch over them, to guard them, right? And part of guarding is to know and to teach and preach the whole counsel of God. Not that everybody has to stand up here in front of your family and, you know, thus saith the Lord. But we take the word of God in to our minds and our hearts. We apply it to our lives and as best we can live it out. And when we screw up, we don't sweep it under the rug. You know what I'm saying? We say, we screwed up. Please forgive me. I was an idiot. I'm sorry, I'm embarrassed. Will you forgive me, Lord? Will you forgive me, husband, wife, son, daughter? And let's pray and let's ask the Lord to help me do it better next time. Right? But it starts with the whole counsel of God. Listen, if you're going to a church and they're just teaching topical stuff, that's good. But you're not understanding all of what it says. That's scary. There was somebody online who wrote me this, who's watching us online. We're very thankful for that. And they're going through the book of Jude, and they're like blown away. And they, you know, and they texted me about it, and they said, I didn't even know. I've been walking with the Lord for a long time. I didn't even know there was a book of Jude. We have to know the whole counsel of God, right? Sometimes we don't even know. So here's what you do. You take a book. If you're not doing this, you need to read it. We need to read it on our own. And listen, it's easy to put your feet up, okay? This is easy. Not really, because I'm not as flexible. But for illustration purposes, to put your feet up and to not do the work. I get it. I have Netflix. I understand the draw. You know what I'm saying? It's easy to put that Bible down. But listen, can I encourage you? Pick it up. Pick any book you want in the New Testament. Start there and go through it. Read a chapter a day, verse by verse, even if it's difficult for you. I had a hard time reading. I do. I do it anyway. Every time I pray, Lord, will you speak to me? Will you teach me? Because I have to rely on the Holy Spirit. I don't want to rely on my own brain, right? It's easy to be lazy. Don't you do it. You're a shepherd. You, Nathan. You, Kimberly. A shepherd. A shepherdess. Right? So we need to be taking that word. Don't just come on Sunday. Sunday's great. Don't just come to experiencing God in the Bible studies. That's great. Read it on your own. And when you finish that book of the Bible, whatever you're reading in the New Testament, start in the New Testament, verse by verse, chapter 1, verse 1, read it all the way through. When you're done with that, let's say the book of James, make a little check mark by it. Then go to another book. Same thing. Pray until you go through the whole New Testament. Then you can start on the Old. But you want to get the whole word of God into you. Does that make sense? So that you can help guard, because it's only going to get worse. I'm just telling you that's the facts. It's going to get worse. And these teachers, these godless men, these asabas and women, they're going to say, hey, God is just good. He's a God of love. Don't worry about the hell part. There's whole churches teaching, don't worry about hell. In fact, there is no hell. That's a new thing. I thought, well, how could you even say that? Because the Bible's, but now that's a whole new teaching. There is no hell anymore. And there's so many of the bad teachings, but they won't say that immediately. And there's whole other teachers. They call them, I shouldn't say it, Lord. No, don't call them out. Okay. I got to be careful. Because sometimes their heart intention is right, but they don't mention sin in the churches. Did you know that? In a lot of churches, we don't want to mention sin because that's going to make you uncomfortable. And we want to fill the seats. God is a God of love, so we want you to keep coming. Listen, can I tell you something? We want you to feel comfortable. I love that you're feet up. I love that you grab a cup. I love that the babies, it's okay that they're here. I love that you speak up. I love it. I love when Mark, you know, maybe not every time, but I love when he does it. I am blessed by it. Okay? I am honest to God. He is a blessing to me. I love the questions that come up. These are all wonderful things. So I want you to be comfortable. But in another sense, that's why we call it home fellowship church. You can feel relaxed here. On another sense, though, I don't want you to be comfortable in your sin. Because God doesn't want you to be comfortable in your sin. And if you are, something's wrong. Yes, Debbie.
Is it part of
Sure. Okay. She's asking, the question was, we didn't have a microphone over there. Are they not mentioning sin and hell and things like that? They don't want people to have bad thoughts. Maybe in part. Maybe it's bad teaching. Maybe it's they don't know any better. Sometimes, honestly, if you mention that, people will get uncomfortable. And that means the money will stop flowing in. And that's the main thing. They don't want to scare. We don't want to scare people away. We just want to tell them about the Lord. We just want to tell them a great. Don't worry about obedience. No, don't worry about that. Don't worry about those. And it's a way to get more money and a way to fill the seats. And so we don't want to do that. Does that make sense? Yes. Yes. Yes.
I know you guys are my
yes.
Son.
Yes.
But all everything that comes with it. It's
yes.
Like no hell. It's
yes.
Like, oh,
yes.
You can do
what you want.
Everyone's just mental.
Yes.
It's
yes.
Like, I really don't feel like I should believe in church. I feel like I should just go straight to the Bible.
Well, that's you know what, and that's. And that's the right thing. See, if we teach the Bible verse by verse here, if I, let's say, God forbid, I go wackadoodle someday, right? Or you know, or kick the bucket and Gary takes over and he's teaching and Hope Fellowship Church goes wackadoodle, you'll be able to say, wait a minute, like the Bereans, this doesn't match up with what God's word says continually. You'll be able to see it. Listen, but the one thing you can really rely on, and you'll see more and more churches saying they're going to sweep sin under the rug. It's okay. And so they're going to say, like we just read, a license to sin. Okay?
Mia first.
Right? Isn't that the essence of sin? It's all about Mia first, right? We don't want to put when you're a Christian, the goal is to put the Lord first. I die to myself. I take up my cross daily sometimes, sometimes hourly, and I make him known. I don't presume upon that grace. I have been given so much, another shot at life. I can honor him. I am a sinner. Pastor, you're a sinner? Oh, my goodness, yes. Apart from Jesus, let me tell you where I'd be headed. Right to the pit. I need Jesus. And I know if I need Jesus, guess what? You do too.
Amen.
Listen, and some people were like, well, grace covers everything, Pastor. I don't need to worry about that. Am I right? I can do what I want, grace. Listen, let me tell you what Paul said. Paul said this is in Romans 6:15 in the King James Version. He says, what then? Shall we sin? Because we're not under the law and we're under grace. Hey, it's all covered by grace. And he says, God forbid, the Greek word there, God forbid, is meginomai. And that means may it never be. May it never come to existence. Not ever come to pass. Or God forbid this should happen. We shouldn't presume upon that grace. We should be all the more. Thank you so much for your mercy and your grace. Now, can you help me obey you more? When I screw up, I ask for forgiveness. Lord, help me to take another step. I don't care if I'm taking, you know, 4 steps forward and then 3 steps back. I still want to keep going forward. You know, or baby steps. Does that make sense, everybody? Yes, I see 2 hands. Danielle, do you have one quick? Yes.
They're just looking at half of the thing.
Yes. Correct. That's correct. But that half-truth can honestly lead you straight to the pit. Yes, Elijah, you had something.
One of the most interesting things about this verse is that it's not only in Romans, but he actually repeats this all across Galatians, Philippians,
yes.
And all those other ones because he knows how easy it is.
How distracted we are.
Exactly.
Yes, it's very easy. That's exactly right. So that's why, oh, she said everyone's spiritual, but nobody's really religious or following the Lord. Yeah. Listen, oh, yeah. That's why you have to know, I have to know, we have to know. Listen, when it comes to cults and deceivers, okay, I want everybody to know because here's what I want to just go over a couple things just really briefly. because it's important. Here's a nice, easy thing to remember when you talk about cults, you talk about religions, you talk about false prophets, wolves, deceivers. They're usually doing it for self and not for the Lord. Here we go. Here's a little thing to help you remember for cults and deceivers. That's at least something simple like somebody like me can remember. Plus, minus, multiply, divide. Or add, subtract, multiply, divide. This is true of all cults and of all deceivers. Right? Right here. Here we go. First off, they always, always add to God's word. Okay? They always add on to it. And the Bible's good, but they'll have some new inspired revelation, like the Branch Davidians, or if you remember David Koresh, or whatever. Oh, the Bible's good, but we got to add this extra stuff to it. You know? The Bible's a helpful book, but, you know. Oh, in fact, I'm going to give you a couple of examples, okay? Mormons, okay? For example, the Mormon cult, okay? God is wants to say the Mormons, they're a cult. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that's a fancy way of saying Mormon. That's a cult. Those little guys in their white shirts when they come to you into your door, that's a cult. They add to God's word. I want you to listen to this. In the Articles of the Faith, Joseph Smith, who founded the Mormon religion, said, "We believe," and it's going to start off sounding good, so see if you can hear it. "We believe the Bible to be the word of God, as far as it's translated correctly." Well, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Oh, okay, good, okay. Then it says, "We also believe the Book of Mormon to be the word of God." Smith added, "I told the brethren that the Book of Mormon was, though, the most correct book of any book on earth." Huh. "A man would get nearer to God by abiding by its precepts than any other book," unquote. So the Mormon book takes precedence over this book. They're adding to it. Do you see? And now, if there's a question, well, it doesn't matter. Well, the Book of Mormon says. How about Charles Russell? He founded the Jehovah's Witnesses. Those of you, the other guys who knock on your doors, okay, they are also a cult. And I don't say this to be mean. I'm simply telling you, another group of deceivers, another group of cults, they need Jesus just like we did, okay? But they're very religious, and he was the founder of the Watchtower Bible and the Tract Society. Anyway, he warned, listen to this, the founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses warned that if anyone stopped reading his Watchtower publications, and I put this in quotes, right, and I quote, "ignores them and goes to the Bible alone, our experience shows that within 2 years he goes into darkness." He explained it would have been better if they had not, and I'm quoting this, "read a page of the Bible as such." Wow. See, the Jehovah's Witness, they trump, and you know what? They have their own translation of the Bible. Like, for example, Mark uses the NASB. I use an NIV. Lester and Peggy, who are in Africa right now, use the King James Version. You know, we all use, but they all have the same, some of us, you have the NLT, but they all have the same general message in there, except the Jehovah's Witnesses, their New World Translation, if I remember correctly. It's very different. Where it says, "in the beginning the Word was with God and the Word was God," it says that Jesus was a God. And so they always add to the Bible. And the Bible says this, they says this in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 through 6, it says, "Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who come to him for protection. Do not add to his words, or he may rebuke you and expose you as a liar." You see, they'll always do that. They'll be the, if anybody says this is the only Bible to read, if I ever say the NIV is the only Bible, Mark ever says the, now, Mark might like the NASB better than my NIV, or Lester might like his King James better than, you know, but the bottom line is, if he ever says the NASB is the only, every other Bible is Satan's Bible, and you're, that's a cult. That's a cult. Yes, it is. Absolutely is a cult in Jesus' name. And I will say it loud and I will say it publicly in Jesus' name. If anyone ever comes to you and says, hey, this is the only Bible or you're going to hell, I will tell you in Jesus' name, I love you, sister, but that is a cult. The Bible says this in Revelation 22, 18 to 19. He says, I warn everyone who hears the word of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. Listen, if you like one translation above another, fantastic. We welcome. If you love the King James, welcome it. You love the New King James, welcome it. But I'll tell you what, if you think yours is the only Bible, you are in bad shape. Cults and deceivers also subtract from the Word of God. They subtract from who Jesus is. That's another thing that they do regularly. 2 Corinthians 11, 3 to 4 says this. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, but I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. And they'll always make Jesus somebody less than he is. The Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe for example, the Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. They believe he was an angel. Okay, and on the Mormons, they would say they believe that Jesus is one of, not the only begotten Son of God. They would say that he's one of many spirit children of God. In fact, Lucifer is just his brother, amongst many others. If you want to listen to a great teaching on Mormonism, James Walker, who came here a few months ago, came and gave a teaching, and I'll tell you, it's fantastic on Mormonism. They were fourth generation Mormons, and I would encourage you to listen to that. He says, listen, he says, because sometimes we'll use the same terminology. We'll use the same, you know, oh, I'm Jesus, good. New Agers, they have no problem with Jesus, but their idea of who Jesus is different. The Mormons, same thing. They'll use Jesus, but their idea is different. The Jehovah's Witnesses, different. And it says this, this is 2 Corinthians 11, 4. For if someone comes to you and preaches another Jesus other than the Jesus we preach, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, he's like, you put up with it easy enough. You have to recognize who Jesus is. The only way to do that is to read the Word of God for yourself. Read it. Understand it. Ask the Holy Spirit every time you open it. Even as I get up here and teach. Can I tell you? Ask. Pray. Ask the Lord personally. Lord, will you please teach me what you want me to learn today? I pray that almost every time I get up. I'm like, Lord, before I get up here, help me to only say, in Jesus' name I pray, only say what you want me to say. Only. Erase anything you don't want me to say. Don't let me say it. Listen, pray that every time you open the Word of God. Cults and deceivers multiply requirements for salvation. It's always Jesus plus something else. It's like faith plus works equals salvation. And it's not faith plus works. It's faith that works. Does that make sense? Like my faith is going to produce good works. True faith will produce good works. But I'm not saved by those good works. Does that make sense? It seems like a subtle difference, but it's a big difference. Because I can never do enough good works to get to heaven. Does that make sense? I'm saved by grace through faith alone. Listen, that's what Ephesians says. Ephesians 2:8 says, for it is by what? That you have been saved. Through what?
Faith.
Faith. And this is not of yourselves. It is a gift from God. Yes, you have to just receive that. Now, the next verse is right after this in Ephesians. The next verses, it says that after it says we're saved by grace, that they're going to produce good works in us. And that's, if you're really saved, that's what's going to happen. There will be good. As you turn to the Lord, you're turning away from your sin, and you're going to produce good works. And he's going to be the one that wills it and works it in you. It's all the Lord. That's experiencing God too. Yep, that's why we're teaching it. And lastly, cults and deceivers will always divide loyalties. They will always do that. The Jehovah's Witnesses, well, they're the ones that are going to get you to heaven. Well, the Mormons, they're the only ones that are going to get you to heaven. Oh, this trans was the only one that will get you to heaven. This will only be, if you don't believe this doctrine, it's the only. It's always the same thing. It ends up, whether it's super loosey-goosey and a license to sin or super self-righteous, it ends up in the same place. Cult or deceivers, they divide the body of Christ. Listen, you are not saved. I already said this, so I don't want to beat a dead horse, but you are not saved by me or my wife or by the school or by the church. You are saved by your religion. You're not saved by your religion, your pride, whatever. You are saved only by one person. Salvation comes through no other name. Acts 4:12 says, other than the name of Jesus, there's no other name besides Jesus Christ by which we must be saved. Does that make sense? Jesus, again, saves you, sanctifies you. That means, fancy way of saying, gets all that sin out of you over time, right? As you submit to him, as you yield to his Holy Spirit, and he's the one that does that sanctifying work in you and then ends up glorifying you in the end. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And how many people come to the Father except through Jesus? How many? You can leave your religions, your all that stuff, the pride or whatever, you can leave it. There's a narrow way. Now, you might not like that there's a narrow way, but there's a narrow way. And you have to leave your own self-righteousness, your own good works. Hey, where's the microphone? Oh, it's right up here the whole time. Oh. It's embarrassing. Sorry, people keep raising their hand, and I keep forgetting it. Sorry about that. Here you go. I saw that you raised your hand, so okay.
Pastor Aaron, isn't it true that you were blessed by having different translations of the Bible, because some are meant to be word by word from the Hebrew or the Greek. Others are more phrase by phrase. Some are more paragraph, thought by thought. Others are more modern English, so we can understand. They're more conversational. Absolutely. And that, so we're blessed to have different translations that to help us each understand it.
Like, for example, I loved using that when I'm doing a word-for-word study. I love using the King James for doing my word-to-word study, or the NASB. I love doing that. When I want a thought for thought, something that conveys the thought or the heart behind it, I love me my New Living Translation or my NIV. It depends on what it's for.
The main thing, though, is that they don't pervert the main message of the Scripture.
That's correct. Absolutely. Jesus said this. He said, whoever has the Son, simple as this. It's not whoever has the Son has what? And whoever does not have the Son of God, that's Jesus. It's as simple as that. 1 John 5:12. There's no division there. Look, listen, you might like choir more than you like the drums and guitars. That's okay. You might have a different view of eschatology. I believe he's going to come here this way. You believe that. But we all think he's coming. We all think we got to be ready, right? Be ready. I really wish they had more of a choir. I really wish they'd rock out a little bit more. I really wish they'd have fog machines or something. You know, you might like, we'll probably never have fog machines. But I mean, the point what I'm trying to say is, you might like these, but the bottom line is, we're all going to worship the Lord. And so, listen, I want to give you a quote by Charles Spurgeon. I really like this. That is not Charles Spurgeon's picture. Yes, Charles Spurgeon, preacher. It goes with the quote that I'm going to give you. That's actually Pastor Gary. Yeah, actually, I'm using this specifically. Yes. Okay, Natalie, big tattletale. Yes, I actually don't like clowns. Okay, they kind of freak me out. So I'm just saying, I'm doing this for you. Okay, so Charles Spurgeon says this. He said, a time will come when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep the word of God, which we're trying to do and urging you to do, okay, time will come, and I think it's here now, when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have clowns entertaining the goats. Listen, a lot of people, that's what they really want. They want Disneyland. I just want to be served. I want to have a good time. I want to hear some good jokes, make me feel better. That's it. Well, sometimes the Lord does want to encourage you. He does want to comfort you. He does want to make you feel better. But sometimes he wants you to be uncomfortable. And sometimes he wants you to be called out on stuff. Now, what unfortunately tends to happen is some people get mad at me when I say some of this stuff. And you can if you want to. I love you anyway, but I have to say it. And what you have now are lots of folks. It doesn't matter how big or small this church is. The main thing is we're going to go to the Word of God for everything. It just is. And those who say there's a license to sin, I would say, and I'm going to say this word, hell no. And the reason why I'm saying it, so the kids don't get angry, it's because it's straight from the pit of hell. Because the final result of either that self-righteous living that's all about self, or the license to sin, it leads you to hell. Listen, the final result of that kind of thinking is, listen to this, it's not my words, this is God's word. Galatians 5, 19 to 21 says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, yeah, license to sin, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life, what? Will not inherit the kingdom of God. I get it. That's not a seat filler. But oh my gosh, that might be a lifesaver, a soul saver. Capiche? So Jude's telling us to be aware. And he goes on in these next verses, 5, 6, and 7. How long have I been teaching, Gareth Pastor? No. Impossible. Okay, here we go. Ready? Three verses. Give me three verses. All right, let's just read them real quick together. Hold on a second. Back to Jude. Ready? I'm going to read 5, 6, and 7. No. It says, verse 5, back in Jude. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their own home, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains, for judgment on the great day. Verse 7 says, in a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer punishment of eternal fire. Okay? So, basically, Jude's now giving us three examples from the Old Testament to help us illustrate how God judges individuals who choose not to obey. As an example, he did it as a warning for us. And listen, if you read like, some people will say, I don't read the Old Testament anymore. That's silly. Read the New Testament first, then go to the Old Testament. But if you read like 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it talks all about the nation of Israel and all about what happened. And it says that all these things happen to them as examples for us. To encourage, to warn you, whatever. They were written down. Look what it says. And it's an alarm to warn us who live at the end of the age. Do you think you're living maybe at the end of the age? Then listen up, because he's got a warning for us. verse 5 talks about the nation of Israel. And it talks about how the nation of Israel was delivered from their bondage and slavery in Egypt and freed by the power of God. You remember, they were working as slaves and for many, many years. And they were freed from that slavery by the power of God as Moses led them out through miracles. And they saw, you know, pillar, you know, fire by, what was it, cloud by day, pillar of fire being led at night. You know, they saw the Reed Sea parted. I mean, they saw manna and just tons of stuff. But anyway, but many of those people never entered the promised land, even after they saw those miracles and stuff, because of the fear of the world and unbelief in God's word. What happened, if you don't know the story, they started to go to the promised land that God had promised them. You remember it flowing with milk and honey? All you got to do is just go in, take the land. And they sent spies out there, and most of them came back saying, these people are giants. They're scary. We can't possibly obey God. Just can't do it. It's not in us. They're too big. We can't take over this land. And you remember what happened? They didn't go. Only two of them, along with most, Joshua and Caleb. They tried to encourage the people to obey God and to trust his word by faith, but the people refused. And even the leaders tried to organize the people to go back to Egypt, back to slavery, because living by faith was scary and hard for them. Listen, sometimes you living by faith is scary. Sometimes it's going to be hard. It just is. I'm not going to tell you. There are tons of teachers that will tell you that you live by faith and everything always comes. You're just prancing through the posies. Listen, that's not true. Their unbelief, that rebelliousness against his will and word wasn't tolerated, and that unbelief led to their extermination. Now, Moses wasn't able to go in. God still saved him. Now, don't read too much into it. Who was saved? Who wasn't? I don't know. God knows their hearts. Okay? But I do know that their unbelief led to their extermination. God was not pleased. You can read Psalm 95, and it says that most of them didn't make it into heaven. Okay? The Bible says, Jesus said this multiple times. I only had time to make one slide. But Matthew 24:13 talks about the end. In the book of Revelation, it says, the one who endures to the end. Jesus said it multiple times. The one who endures to the end will be saved. That's a quote from Jesus. In Revelation, it says the one who overcomes, or the one who endures to the... It doesn't say the one who endures to the middle point, right, will be saved. It doesn't say the one who endures to the three-quarter pound. The one who endures to the end. So if things go south, and they don't like you Christians anymore, and I'm going to kill you for your faith, you know what? I know this isn't pleasant, but I'm going to stand and I'm going to say, okay, Lord, I trust in you because I want to endure to the end. Listen, verse 6 talks about the fallen angels, and that's the second example of rebellion to the Lord that ended in judgment. And it's about the angels who sinned. And some scholars argue, yes, they argue just like that. They argue over who these angels are, and some say that they're the fallen angels from Lucifer's rebellion in Isaiah 14 and Revelation 12. Some think they're fallen angels mentioned in Genesis 6 when they, you know, you know that story. And all the fallen angels mentioned by the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 2:4 or both. And honestly, I don't know, because it doesn't tell us. We don't know for sure. So it's all speculation, and they're arguing about it, and we don't know. The Bible doesn't say. And that's not the main point. The main point is, even some of the angels who rebelled against God and refused to obey God's commands, were judged accordingly for it. And even though they were created angels themselves, they're subject to judgment. And according to 2 Peter, thrown into hell because they rebelled. 2 Peter 2:4 says, for God did not spare even the angels who sinned. He threw them into hell, into the gloomy pits of darkness, where they are being held until the day of judgment. And verse 7, the last verse, when he talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, that's the third example. is that of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, that according to archaeologists, that lay buried under the salt pits on the southern end of the Dead Sea. Lisa and I have been there. I think Pastor Gary has as well. But before they were judged and destroyed by God, these cities were beautiful. And the land was really beautiful. It was blessed and prosperous. In fact, the Bible says when Abraham and Lot were looking where to go, where to split up, Lot said he looked around and saw that that area, the whole plain around the Jordan towards Zoar, was well watered, like the Garden of Eden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. And the Bible says in Genesis 13:10, that was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. But unfortunately, the people weren't thankful to the Lord for their blessings. Are you thankful to the Lord for your blessings? Certainly this storm has helped me to be a little bit more thankful. But instead, they went against God's command. They indulged themselves in sexual immorality, thinking that God would just overlook their lustful lifestyle, turn a blind eye to it because there was no immediate consequences. But Genesis 13:13 says, now the people of Sodom were wicked and sinning against the Lord. And if you know the rest of the story, God did judge them as a warning and as an example for us, so we won't make the same mistakes. Listen, God condemned, 2 Peter 2:6 says, God condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, turned them into heaps of ashes. He made them an example of what will happen to ungodly people. He doesn't want you to be an ungodly person. We can't live however we want. Listen, the grace of God, this is in Titus 2:11 and 12, the grace of God has appeared, and it offers salvation to anyone. Listen, if God can save me, I know he can save anybody. Right? But here's what it teaches. It teaches us, as Christians, to say what? No to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. And how do we do that? Because of the power of God. Listen. Non-Christians don't understand it. But there's a power that God gives us. And the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And I've got about 10 more slides. I'm going to have to stop here because could you allow me 2 more minutes for a video? Will you get mad? Okay. All right, George, while you're getting that ready, where's the microphone? Okay. All right, question while he's getting it ready and then the mic. Okay, go ahead.
I don't know if this is working.
Yes.
Back to the Bible translations.
Yes.
I am curious about one thing. Mm-hmm. I have a King James. Mm-hmm. And in my King James on Mark 9, 28 and 29.
I'll tell you what, if you don't mind, can we do this?
Yeah.
I'd be happy to sit with you afterwards.
Yeah.
But just for the sake of the sermon,
yeah.
I'll sit with you if you have like a specific, because it seems like it's going to take a few more minutes. I'm already gone over an hour.
Okay.
But I will sit with you. Don't leave, and I'll sit and take as long as you want.
I'll sit right here.
All right, and then real quickly, Don. Okay, thank you. I'm so sorry. Only for...
Well, this is for a couple of things that are going on spiritually right now.
Okay, all right.
In this building, at this
building. Okay.
All right.
It says, stay always within the boundaries where God's love can reach you and bless you. Wait patiently for the eternal life our Lord Jesus Christ and his mercy is going to give you. Try to help those who argue against you. Be merciful to those who doubt.
Yes.
Save some by snatching them as from the very flames of hell itself.
Yes.
And for others, help them to find the Lord by being kind to them, but be careful that you yourselves aren't pulled along into their sins. Hate every trace of their sins while being merciful to them as sinners.
Yes. Amen. I will tell you, and we're just going to watch this last, or should I say it now? George, are you okay to play it? Okay. All right. So listen, I'll tell you, when it comes to, I've had people storm out of here because of this, the only translation only, and then years later they've come back and they've apologized, and that's great. You know, and so we just have to remember The Lord is the one we follow. His word is the one we follow. Don't get wrapped up in, man, all this culty stuff. And listen, remember, I want you to notice in this video the difference between the words he's saying, and I want you to read the words on the screen, because his mouth, what he's lipping up, and what's being said privately in his thoughts, which they'll put on the screen, are different. Okay, I don't want you to serve a plastic Jesus. I want you to serve Jesus, the only one who can save, the power of God who lets us, allows us to live a godly life. Could you play that video for us, George? Thank you, Chris, if you would.
Hey, I'm Ryan. I'm a Christian, and this is my story. Growing up, I never missed going to church. When I was 12, I accepted Christ as my Savior. I was even baptized. It undoubtedly was a very important decision. It even affected how I lived in high school. I mean, don't get me wrong. I had fun on the weekends. I had a girlfriend, a couple, but I was a normal high school kid. College was one big blur, but I did make it to church out of obedience. And after school, I married a great girl. And she's been a great influence on me. Life's been good. I have a house, 3 kids. I couldn't ask for more. I mean, sure, I worry about my future. I mean, my marriage, it could be better. And I need to spend more time with my kids, but things will be all right. I have my faith. You may not hear me talk about it a lot, but it's just because it's personal. But don't worry for me. My Jesus is real.
Listen, we serve a living God who is able to empower you to live this life. Now, we might have to call on him daily or minute by minute sometimes, right? I don't know about you, but I do. But he will empower you and help you to live this life in a way that honors him. And I want to call and pray right now as we close out in prayer and ask him to do that. All right, let's pray together, shall we? Father, I pray in Jesus' name for you to just empower your people, Lord God, with the truth of you are, your Holy Spirit is truth, Lord God. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would lead all of us here, every person, Lord, into truth, Lord God. Lord, the deceivers, the cults, there are so many, and they're coming more and more, Lord God. But yet, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we trust in you. Our hope and our trust is in you alone, Lord God. So Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would remove, Lord God, by your Spirit, Lord, anyone who is leading anyone astray, Lord, and those who are being led astray, Lord God, that you would fill them with truth, fill them with your Spirit, Lord God, fill them with the gift of discernment, Lord God, that you would teach them the Word of God, Lord. You would help each person here to learn to read the Word of God for themselves, Lord God, and not listen to people. Lord, or these cults that have the watchtower with the right answer, Lord, they always got some sort of thing. Lord, help them to be discerning and to trust you, your heart, your word, and your Holy Spirit for all things, Lord God. Lord, if there's any questions that anybody has, Lord God, I pray in Jesus' name that they'd be happy to contact me during the week or Pastor Gary or sit afterwards, and we'll spend as much time as possible, Lord God. But we're asking you to keep and preserve, Lord. You say those who are called are loved and are kept. So, Lord, keep our brothers and sisters, Lord, from error, from the error of self-righteous religiosity, Lord God, on the one hand, and the license to sin on the other, Lord God. Protect them, Lord. Protect us. We ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people together say, amen, 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 and amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus' name.